At the top of our program for a year, our first guest has been paying close attention to what's on the minds of people living here in the Lansing area. Matt Hund is engagement editor at the Lansing State Journal. His duties include writing editorials, which means staying closely connected to the issues affecting people living here in the capital city. In recent days, the LSJ has come out in favor of the Lansing School District's $120 million pathway promise millage and a moratorium on marijuana dispensaries. I sat down with Matt Hund to discuss some of these opinions and other aspects of his job. I first asked him about the paper's support for the Lansing School's pathway promise millage, which the LSJ called a no-brainer. I asked him why.
We had quite a bit of research on this. We had a lot of people submitting their opinions and a lot of different groups specifically weighing in. And as traditionally before an editorial, we held an editorial board and we brought in the superintendent and the president of the school board, Yvonne Kamal Kanul and Peter Spadafore, and talked to them and asked them all the questions that we were hearing from the community. And they had 5 or 6 years worth of research to back it up and a lot of community outreach where they've been getting feedback all along. And it just sounded like a no-brainer.
The paper's preference aside, do you think the millage is going to pass? Do you get a feeling for that kind of thing at the paper?
The only real feeling that we get for it is how many people are writing in and how many different groups in the community are weighing in on it. And from all of the groups that I've heard, it sounds like it has tremendous support.
Most of the letters that I've read in the paper are in favor. An operational question here for you. Is the number of pro and con letters that you receive generally reflected in the balance that gets printed in the paper?
Yes, we try to print whatever we get as long as it's topical and it meets our criteria. So what you see is pretty much what we're getting.
Mm. So you're getting more letters supporting it. What's the ratio pro and con, would you say?
Oh, geez, we probably have only had a couple con. And they've basically been saying the same thing, but the number of pro maybe 15 or 20.
What have the cons been saying?
They basically are concerned with the exact amount of money that it'll cost, and I think that they're misunderstanding the figures a little bit, and they're not really clear on what it will be.
How do you determine which letters to publish? Talk to me about whatever a litmus test that you have there.
Yeah, we have a couple of criteria for letters to the editor. Obviously, one is length and space, and that's just a simple matter of we want to be able to print as many of them as we can. So we keep everybody down to 175 words. Then we give some preference and some precedence to those that are by local authors or on local topics or topics that are especially timely. Those tend to bump up the queue a little bit. But in my time there, I've been there almost a year now, we really haven't rejected very many. And the ones that we have tend to be ones that need to be referred either for fact-checking to a reporter or an accusation of crime or customer service. Sometimes we need to send it on to police or Better Business.
What's the most common reason you would reject a letter just immediately?
If somebody is using really kind of abrasive verbiage or is obviously very passionate with very little self-control, we specifically want to have letters in there that add value to the community, and somebody just caterwauling is obviously not going to do that.
Does that ever get close, though? Is that ever a close call between somebody who's really, really passionate about something and maybe it goes too far and maybe it doesn't?
It absolutely is a close call sometimes. And in those cases, I tend to call the author and say, listen, you know, it sounds like you're just kind of screaming a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe you could edit it and pull it back to something more valuable.
If you get tons more comments on one side of an issue, do you ever find yourself thinking, I wish we heard from somebody on the other side of this issue?
Absolutely. And specifically with our viewpoints, which some people call op-eds, those are our larger opinion pieces. Those can be up to 500 or 600 words, and they tend to run in a special section on Sunday. And that's really where we have the opportunity. If we think that we're only hearing one side of the issue, we might contact somebody who's very outspoken on that side and then specifically look for the other side and run them next to each other. The goal of the opinion page is now and always has been just to create the conversation and make sure that both sides are heard.
What do you think finally motivates a reader to write in with his or her opinion? You must have thought about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a question I ask myself quite a bit, because a lot of times it is a very specific subset of the population that's writing in, and I sometimes wonder if it's just the people who have extra time, but I do absolutely think that it's the people who have passion and who feel very strongly about an issue that when they see something, they decide to step up and go the extra mile and make the time.
Passionately for? Do you get more letters that are more passionately in favor of something or more passionately against something?
Well, that depends on if they're a letter about a politician or not. If it's a letter about a politician, it's usually passionately against. If it's about an issue, we get a fair mix of pro and con. Mm-hmm.
Matt Hund is engagement editor of the Lansing State Journal. We're talking about some recent positions taken by the paper and how the editorial page of the local paper of record operates. The LSJ also came out in favor of a medical marijuana ordinance and moratorium on new pot shops in Lansing. Why?
That was a simple matter of the fact that we are a local paper and we all live in the area and we all drive to work through the area, and we just see them cropping up everywhere. And then a reporter got a hold of some information about the fact that there was an ordinance in place that they were supposed to be being regulated and going through a licensing process, and it just simply wasn't happening. So between the watchdog reporting and what we were seeing in our own communities at home, we decided we needed to take a position on it. And we obviously don't have a problem with industry. We don't have a problem with business. And we don't have a problem with the legal sale of medical marijuana. But we do think that when there's a licensing and regulatory process in place, it needs to be upheld.
How do you arrive at the opinion that the paper will ultimately publish? What is that process like? How many people are involved?
Yeah, so it tends to come from either community tips, or a reporter is covering a story and giving us a bunch of facts. And then we take it to what's called the editorial board, which consists of our president and publisher, our executive editor, our news director, and myself. And we sit down and we debate topics and see how we feel that the paper should fall on a certain issue. And
you bring the reporters into that, though, or not?
We tend to bring the reports into that as background information.
Their stories.
Yes, okay. Their stories. And if we need more background, sometimes after we have talked about that, we need further research, and I'll go talk to the reporter and do further research, ask more questions, see if there's an angle that hasn't been explored yet. We do extensive research online and through other sources also, and try to get the clearest picture that we can before we make a decision.
You've got more on your plate, I would take it, in a general election year than in other years.
Absolutely. We want to take positions on the proposals. We want to be a voice for the community and help everybody know what the facts and the ramifications will be. And then we also interview a lot of candidates and endorse in city election races and the mayoral race and several others.
Broadly, do you get more letters and op-ed possibilities from one side of the political spectrum than the other? I mean, broadly, I think Lansing is a blue community, I think, more liberal opinion. Do you get more liberal opinions from readers than conservative opinions?
That's hard to say. I actually believe that we get a fair mix. And I think a lot of times the reason why is because once we publish a letter, then we do allow people to write in and respond to that, especially if it's a response to a viewpoint. So we'll get somebody who's very passionate, say, on the conservative side of bathroom law legislation. Then the next few people who write in will be people who work for organizations that are specifically on the side of equality and equal rights and, you know, that side.
Did you publish an opinion on the State Board of Education, the transgender recommendations?
Only opinions from the community so far, but we did recently have in an editorial board some people who spoke about that. So that might be one coming up that we might want to watch for.
Did you endorse presidential candidates in the primaries?
No, we tend not to endorse in the presidential race. We're a much more locally focused paper, so we tend to do from the mayor down, if you want to think of it that way.
Mm. Not even the general election? No endorsement there planned?
Nope.
When we were arranging this interview, you referred to the new phenomenon of the engagement editor, which
yes.
is your title. Remind us what's changed here. What's new in this position that wasn't there before? How has it changed?
Well, like I said, I've only had this position for a year, but I do think it's a very interesting position. I came from a journalism background a long time ago, and I saw that there's reporters and columnists and editors and copy editors and producers, and now there's this idea of engagement and community engagement and actually needing to get out there, meet with the people, sit with the people, eat with the people, you know, attend events with the people. And it's actually a really exciting role, and it ties in perfectly with the other half of the job, which is the opinion section. So every time I'm going out and talking with people and meeting with people, whether it's an event that we organized or it's an event that we're attending on behalf of the Lansing State Journal, we're always asking people for their opinions and for their ideas and story tips and all of that.
Describe the mood of the community, of the greater Lansing community, as you see it. I mean, there's an awful lot that's been made of how angry the electorate is in this presidential race. Do you see that reflected? What else do you see? What else do you pick up in terms of mood from local people?
You know, there is a bit of anger that's associated specifically surrounding politics right now. But the general mood that I see, and I'm very fortunate to see because I get to go to a lot of the events where we're building the community, it's a very hopeful, very excited mood. I think everybody in Greater Lansing is excited to see a lot of the changes that are coming around, a lot of the new developments. We have a huge craft beer industry, which was a story that we are working on for this weekend. There's just a lot that's building, and I think everybody is feeling the momentum.
Matt Hund is engagement editor of the Lansing State Journal. We're talking about some recent positions taken by the paper and how the editorial page of the local paper of record operates here. Anyone who reads the papers online or any journalism online where readers can comment, I think has been struck by the vitriol that has just become so prevalent in online commentary. What do you make of that phenomenon?
You know, there's this sub-phenomenon called trolling, and we definitely see trolling a lot where one specific person sinks their teeth into a story and just comments and feedbacks on every single piece of it that comes out. When you take those out of the equation, I think there is actually some good discourse, and there's a lot of people with good commentary on both sides. It's just sometimes wading through the vitriol.
How does online commentary compare to the letters that you actually get, or maybe the emails?
I think that's a great question. I think the main difference is anonymity. People feel a certain amount of anonymity
they're
when
safe.
They're just throwing up something online. And I think that's something that really resonates with the idea of keeping letters to the editor and still having that available, because those are all verified and everybody has to stand behind what they say.
Just a bit more shop talk here. Last week, Gannett, which is the Lansing State Journal's parent company, made official its interest in Tribune Publishing, the publisher of the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, and other papers, Baltimore Sun. I assume, does this get the attention of your staff?
I assume it does, but we haven't had much conversation about it yet. Being in Lansing, Michigan, we're kind of waiting for some of the larger players to come to the table. Mm. We do have the opportunity to comment and to listen to some of our Detroit Free Press colleagues talking about it, but there hasn't really been that much talk at the local level yet.
You do share a fair amount of content with the Free Press.
It's a fairly close relationship.
Matt Hund is engagement editor of the Lansing State Journal. We've been talking about some recent positions taken by the paper and learning more about how the editorial page and all of his other engagement activities work. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.